We have a full house. Well, almost a full house in the Center Studio as it's time for us to look at this week in the Lakeville Journal. I know. I see Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Alex is there. Good morning, Alex.
Alex is not there. That's Ann.
Ann? What happened to Alex? I thought Alex was here.
No, Alex only comes when he's got one of his supplements.
Oh, that's it.
Sorry. I should have warned you.
No, and plus Anne is in her seat, plus it was a different arm.
Well, I can't see because there's a new bear that was sent to us.
Oh, that's Anne. Anne's here.
See those fingers?
There we go. What was that?
I said, you see those fingers?
I see the fingers now.
That's all. Okay.
All right, and we have fingerless because she's on the telephone.
That's right. Invisible.
Better. Better than fingerless, I think.
That's right.
All right. Well, here we are. Our front page has lots of colors and lots of stories on it. You've got a story by Patrick Sullivan on the Supreme Court.
I found this really interesting, and I don't always, I confess, find this type of story interesting, but Stephen Wormiel, who lives here in Sharon and is a law professor and a really smart guy, gave a talk at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon across the street here all about the Supreme Court. And it was really a very sort of thoughtful, clever, you know, here's who's on it, here's who's most influential, and here's some of the top issues that they're dealing with, and including something called, like, I think the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, which I'm very intrigued by. But a really interesting story. I won't try to explain it, but you should definitely read it. Patrick did a great job of downloading it.
And you've got on the upper left-hand corner, Powering Up.
That's right. And we've got some great photos inside, but Lance Christensen went, and he just has such a great eye and really captured everything there is about Kamet that's so interesting, which is these very old machines, guys dressed up in sort of old railroady gear, but looking very authentic. And then there's always multiple generations, so you can see the very elderly guy looking at a machine that he might have seen as a child, and then a somewhat younger guy. And I think that most men either are standing there with their arms crossed or they're all leaning over an engine and examining it carefully. So lots of nice pictures inside, but a little teaser.
Now, you do have Region 1 results online. The budget passed, by the way.
That's right. We posted them yesterday. It was a nice, easy skate through for a change.
Well, I think about 460 people voted in that. But Salisbury, only 11 no's. Salisbury's always a big yes in that.
Yeah, but in Falls Village, it was almost like a 50-50 vote. Falls Village, you know, being a little bit more.
It was a pretty low turnout. Good point.
Yeah, but it's a turnout nonetheless.
Yes. It
certainly is.
And it's done.
We had our say.
Doing the, as I always do, the Sharon Classic Road Race this year, was very interesting because at the same time there was a break after the runners left, and it was the last call time for Jack Murtaugh, and he rode on engine number one down to the firehouse, and they did the last call, and we actually broadcast that live on the air and live on the green when they did that.
Yeah, very moving.
Oh, it was very moving. You could hear a pin drop, except for the bagpipe player. It was absolutely amazing.
And I believe they were on their way to the memorial service, which I think happened at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, they got stopped at the firehouse just to do the last call, and then went from the firehouse procession down to the funeral home.
So we always say, you know, with the obituaries, everybody who dies, every obituary is meaningful to somebody. But every now and then, you have somebody who really touched a lot of lives, and Jack Murtaugh was definitely that person here in Sharon.
All right. We will go down a little bit. Arrived in time for Mother's Day.
My favorite. Baby animals. Some little Nigerian dwarf goats at the high school. And Patrick knows that I love to have baby animals on the front page at this time of year. So he dutifully went over and did a nice little story. And it's one of those stories where Patrick isn't really writing about anything meaningful. And so it's extra funny. So I recommend you read it.
All right, and a nice story on Lori Belter being honored by the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau.
Lori Belter does so much, and is like really such a lovely person. Grew up here, and just so beautiful and so talented. And it's nice. Cordelia Schiller went to the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau ceremony event honoring Lori, and pulled out something which I think young people especially notice about Lori, which is she really makes them feel confident. And she does a lot of theater programs, and I think often with theater programs you feel like, well, you know, it's really about the person that's directing it and then everybody else is supporting them. Lori really is a person who's there to just help people pass through, you know, learning about the theater, learning about their own interest in the theater and their own talents.
I first met Lori in the original production of The Music Man with Ray Roderick and stuff like that, and she was a dancer in that.
Great dancer.
But that's the first time I really met her up personally, close to close, and she's just a dynamite human being. Right. Really is.
Kind.
Really is. Yeah. And then Nature's Notebook, Tim Abbott.
Yeah, talking about the rain.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's been
raining
a lot.
What's rain?
Yeah. And then don't forget, we have the story about the three speakers for graduation. There's usually a valedictorian and a salutatorian. This year, there was 3/1000ths of a point separating the two who are now the two salutatorians. So it's Marika Stifler, who lives across the street here, and Soren Klula.
All right. Once again, on A3, more color pictures of not only the season opening for the CAMA, but also Art at the Dump.
Art at the Dump is one of my favorite things, and this year's beneficiary was the Art Garage, yeah. which is the after-school program at Housatonic Valley Regional High School that's not a high school program. It's in a high school building, but it's run by volunteers. And Gail Jacobson had started Art at the Dump as a way to raise funds for arts education programs, and it has frequently been the Cornwall Consolidated School, but this year it was Art Garage, which was nice because you had some work by students from Housatonic, and also there was a teacher at Regional 7 in Winsted, which is actually not Winsted students. I believe it's Norfolk and some of the other towns in the area. But so they also did some very nice work, and it was a very lovely, fun show. And if you've never been, you should go. I always buy stuff there. There's great stuff.
All right. Now, you've got a story on page A4 by Patrick Sullivan, Competitive History.
Right. It was National History Day, and students from Salisbury Central School came to the Academy building, where Lou Bucciri, former history teacher at Salisbury Central, is now the head of the Historical Society, and they did a nice presentation. And then he also did a story on the Art Garage, which he just went over there and just observed some of the young people and what they're doing. It's always different depending on what the students are and what their interests are. Some years there's a lot of music there, some years there's a lot of painting. So find out what's going on there in his article.
The Art Garage. And the Mountaineers, what used to be Mr. Housatonic, is now more of like almost like one of those TV
like
shows now.
A talent show or something.
A talent show, but yeah.
Yeah, yep. And Dean Sicardi, who is going to do something interesting because he's always the top person at these shows, is the winner.
And just we'll tie in with that. Blue and gold at the gallery, the White Gallery, is not that far off.
That's right. It's May 17th is the Friday opening, and it's open for the weekend. And information both in the regular paper and in Compass about that. And that's a really nice show. I'm always impressed by how good the art is there. And the art is for sale. The students get 80%, and 20% goes back to the art program at the high school.
And what's interesting over the years that it's been around, the expansion into photographs, into statues, into other forms of art, it really is tough. It's a curated show as well, it's tough. It gets tougher each year. I speak to Tino, and it gets tougher each year because the level and the amount of art goes up each year.
Right, Tina Galuzza, the owner of the White Gallery, which generously hosts the show every year. And really, it's very lively and fun.
All right. Now, you've got a story on the historic burial site at Sharon.
I took that photo of the sign just sort of as a throwaway, just a placeholder, and it ended up being such a cool photo. I'm not sure actually who laid this page out, but I just think it's a wonderful picture. I'm really interested in that particular cemetery. It's a very interesting setup, and they have the winter vault, which is where bodies have been stored when the ground is too hard to break, which hasn't happened recently because it's been relatively mild. But so they've, as many people know, especially if you're like me and you spend a lot of time in the obituary page, more and more people are being cremated instead of buried. But they're also the cremains are being, not necessarily scattered over the Grand Canyon as it was many years ago, but stored in what's called a columbarium, which is, you know, sort of drawers with a little plaque. And so they've created a new columbarium here, and they're giving a tour of it this Saturday. And we've got the date and the time in there, but it's definitely a beautiful, beautiful building and worth going to see. And they've done a nice job with it.
You know, that sign, what's great about that, every cemetery sign ends up looking like that.
Yeah.
And you know there's a story behind it.
Right. Well, and actually also, I was talking to Meryl Rogers and Deborah Moore. They gave me a little pre-tour. And people come in often to look at the old gravestones, and they rub them with steel wool. And that destroys the very soft stone. So what they need to do is just take some water and spray with water or something called D2. And there are two stones right next to this Hillside Cemetery stone. And you can see how nicely and how perfectly the water and the D2 take off the lichen without destroying the carving.
All right. Right next to that, Kent, the millwright, will stay steady despite rising costs.
One of the things that's risen has been there's been a lot of conversation in Kent about salaries at town hall, and it's a very collegial town hall. But I think that a lot of the employees there have been comparing salaries, and it's led to some contention over the past few years. And so the selectmen have sort of, in a slow but steady process, done a whole study of what everybody's making, what everybody in similar jobs is making in other towns, what can they afford as a town, and there's been a big adjustment to salaries this year. But also, of course, you know, the ongoing increases, but they're determined to keep the mill rate down.
All right, now you've got an interesting story on the Husky Meadows Farm and a great picture there, Jana Siller.
Yes, Jana has been Jana's the farm director at Camp Isabella Friedman over in Falls Village near us, and she'd wandered in one day and said she'd like to write, and she's a fantastic writer. And, of course, she's very connected to all the farmers here. They all know each other. They all, you know, commiserate and share information. And so Jana's been doing this series on CSAs. You can find all the stories on our website at tricornernews.com. And many people know Tracy Hayhurst from her years running the Chubby Bunny Farm. And, you know, it's very hard. Nobody's really quite figured out how to make these CSAs work economically yet. And so she's kind of been rolling from one type of farm to another. And she's now at Husky Meadows with a different farm team. And their thing is farm to table. We grow it so you can cook it.
All right. On the health page, older adults might need a new measles shot.
Yeah, I can't remember what triggered this, but obviously there's a lot of, you know, there's a big measles outbreak going on in New York City right now, and a lot of us travel to New York. So if you're down in the city a lot, you might want to think about, and especially if you're, you know, susceptible, you might want to check with your doctor, and if you have your old medical records from childhood, as I'm lucky enough, you can check. But if you were vaccinated between 63 and 67, they used a dead virus instead of a live virus, and so you might need another measles shot. And there's no reason, if you're not sure, there's no reason not to get a second measles shot, so ask your doctor about it.
All right, then you've got a story on suicide in teens.
It's so sad, you know, and of course we all know teenagers who are depressed these days. But also, there were three studies that just came out this spring, and one of them is about the copycat effect, where somebody dies who's either a celebrity, and of course we know there's been a lot of celebrity suicide in the last 10 years, but also TV shows like the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why, which sparked a number of male suicides. But between the ages of 10 and 34, a lot of despair, a lot of people taking their own lives, and studies showing we really need to have more people who are capable of working with teens to help them through these difficult periods.
You know, we talk about teens, and now even though it's not suicide, it brings forward to what happened outside of Denver, where a teen actually, a series of 18-year-old boys jumped the shooter. One of them died from it, others were injured. It just ties into with the other side of being a teenager. I can't even call it a hero. Just unbelievable story about that.
Yeah.
Fine foraged food now in season, Cynthia.
Every day, topic of conversation at the Lakeville Journal. I think the morals are out yet. So, of course, I'm not going to tell you where I get mine, but they're not out yet.
All right, I want to go. You've got on the sports page the Sharon Classic. Before we go to that, I love the pictures that I've been seeing. The students at Housatonic Valley Regional High School to pick those prime pictures at the entrance to the Sharon Country Inn. It really is, you know what? It's a spectacular place to take those pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to let Ann talk about this. Do you want to talk about your beautiful prom photo?
Oh, yes. This was a group of kids that were getting ready at the Sharon Country Inn. Eddie's son, Aggie, and his posse of friends. They were all beautiful. I wish I could have run a picture of everybody, but it was just fun. They all gorgeous kids, nice kids, and they were on their way to the junior prom. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of four girls goofing around in the driveway, but it was just at that moment when all the blossoms were blooming.
It's amazing.
And I looked this morning and they're almost all gone. So it was just at the perfect moment.
It almost looks like it was shot down south in the Southern Bells. It really does.
Right.
All right, now we get to the Sharon Classic. That guy who won the Classic?
Yes.
He came in 11 minutes before everybody else.
Wow, that's serious. But I'm not very good at math, but I don't believe he broke the record.
No, he didn't. No.
But still, apparently it was a very good day to run. The rain stopped long enough for them to go out. It was nice and cool and overcast, and everybody did great.
All right. A Race to Save Lives is coming up in just 2 days, North Canaan.
Right. And you were talking about this, I think, just before we came on the air. And it's a young woman who had a lot of struggle with addiction. And she says she wants everybody to know her story and that challenges like this have been really important to her, and so she just created her own, although she'd like to be on the one that's on Real TV. But essentially what it is teams of runners. It's almost like a scat, like what used to be a treasure hunt when I was a kid. You go and you meet at the central location, and then you have to go to different locations and do sort of a volunteer nice effort to help some nonprofit, and then they all meet back and see who's done the most the fastest.
All right, I want to go on to the opinion and editorial pages. We'll start off with your editorial, Finding a Path to Affordable Housing, Janet.
Right, this is such an important issue here, statewide, nationwide. It's interesting, if you look at our Millerton News this week, sheer coincidence, the editorial there is on affordable housing as well, and they're having a discussion in Millerton Northeast about the same issue. And the town that is addressing it now is Falls Village. Falls Village and Goshen were the only two towns in the state that hadn't done this and put in, because the state does have a request that towns make a certain percentage of their housing affordable as defined by the state. And Falls Village has a group that has been working at this for 10 years and has a large project they're now putting before their boards for approval. So it's out in the public, and Patrick wrote about it last week. We have our editorial. We have a letter on it this week from neighbors of the property where this proposed project would go. And, you know, it's under discussion. And we've seen this happen in each of our towns where, you know, proposals are made. More recently, it's harder to get them through, but all the other towns in the northwest corner do have affordable housing available. And, you know, they have had this for years and are always looking for more and more creative ways to do it. So read it, think about it, write letters to us about it.
We've got a letter already about what we talked about last week, was the Falls Village Affordable Housing Proposal, which they advised to slow down and take a look also at other options.
Yeah, this letter is from the neighbors of the property where the project is proposed. And so read everything you can about it and get involved.
And a letter about banning asphalt production as well.
That's right. That's from Dolores Parati in East Canaan. We've had ongoing letters and, of course, articles about this as it's been discussed at open meeting. And read what Dolores has to say about it. And if you are in Canaan, do get involved with that too.
Big hearing coming up next week.
Right.
And you've got the letter there explaining a lot about the strike and that took place at Stop and Shop.
Yeah, this is very interesting. This is from a member of the local 371. She works in North Canaan, Stop and Shop, lives in Goshen. But she told me she is part of a writing group, and she wrote about this for it. And they said, oh, you should really put this out there for the public to see. So she sent it out as a letter to the editor. And it is fascinating. It's looking at the strike and the company from the worker's point of view. And, she's quite dedicated to what she does and is glad to be off strike.
And on the Viewpoint page, three different articles, Ralph Nader again, of course, but also Matt Gordon, and a great story, a baseball comedy routine, a singer and a song.
That's right. That's from Dick Ollis, yep, who has been absent for a while. He was away on vacation and is coming back now. I think he'll be writing for us every other week again, and you never know what he's going to find to write about. So give him a read. He does always give us a perspective on what went before, and this is an interesting one. Matt Gordon writes about better living through chemistry, and he often writes about environmental matters for us, and this one covers some really important things. And don't miss the photo by Lance Christensen of blue sky and sunshine, because we need all we can get of that now. Whenever the sun comes out, we should all run outside.
And Dick's story, it's great. He's got the full story on Kate Smith, by the way, in there as well. And you younger people that might have think that that she's the most horrible person in the world, read this article through, because it'll explain some things. Can't
it
explain
will,
everything.
You
Can't
know,
explain
a
everything.
Product of a different era, and yeah. Dick does is very good at doing that historical research and remembering things too.
Yeah, I think it's a great story. It puts the whole Kate Smith thing in a logical context.
Right.
Well, speaking about logical context, she's here. Mm-hmm. The hat is off. The headphones are on.
Okay.
And hey, it's compass time.
Yes, we have a nice fat compass this week.
What a picture on the front of it.
Though. I know. Isn't that beautiful? That's a photograph by John Kane, who is the photographer for Palabolas and Momix. And we have I chose this mainly because it's May and it's beautiful pinks and greens, sort of the color of May. But there's a nice interview with him on page 3, and he's having an exhibit down in Washington Depot of all of his work with Momix and Palabolas. I first knew about him because they did a really fabulous calendar with the Palabolas dancers all in different configurations. It was kind of a yoga calendar. Anyway, it's a good interview, and page 3. And then we have, this is our dinner and a show issue.
Okay.
So we have a lot of advertising that's related to dinner and a show, but we also have 3 theater reviews. Marsden did a review of The Graduate, which it's always tricky to turn a movie into a play. It seems less tricky to turn the play into the movie, but she gives it a good review, and it's at the Sherman Playhouse through May 11th. And then we have, and I have to make a confession here, everybody. Are you listening?
Confession time, go.
I have never, ever, ever seen Mamma Mia on screen, on stage. I don't know a single song from it.
I'm sorry for you.
You don't know any ABBA songs?
I only know the Mamma Mia song.
Well, yeah,
which
I
I've
think
heard.
You know the songs, you just don't realize it. Dancing but that's
Queen.
Good. That's all right.
So I'm admitting that I know nothing about Mamma Mia, but for some reason, everyone feels compelled to do this show about 17 times a year. C.B. Wismar gives this version of it a great review. It's at the Warner Theater, and he says that when he was there last week, the show was sold out at the Sunday matinee. There were 1,600 people dancing and clapping their way through the production. So it sounds like a great thing, and go see it because it's over on May 12th.
I want you to Google ABBA songs and listen to them because they really are great. But you have to watch the video because 50% of ABBA is, of course, the way they looked.
So I'm going to take her on a long car ride and lock Costco.
That's right.
And when she's not looking.
Car karaoke.
I have huge gaps in my education, Marshall. It's not that I don't like ABBA. It's just that they just never caught my radar. Uh-huh. You know, I never saw The Wire either, which is, I'm sure, a huge cultural.
It's not as much fun as ABBA.
Okay. Right. Anyway, there's a film up at the Triplex in Great Barrington. It won tons of awards at Tribeca Film Festival last year. It's a very small film, and what drew me to it is that it was filmed in the Berkshires. The director grew up in Pittsfield, and it's a story about, it's a drama. It's not necessarily a true story, but he bases it on his mother and his aunts. His mother came from a family of 10, I think, and actually it was her aunts. So it's all about what it's like to live in a place like that, and it's a very, very personal, beautifully done film. The cinematography is amazing, and it gives you that real feeling of what it's like here in this bleak winter. And it's called Diane. I didn't even say the name of the movie. It's called Diane, starring Mary Kay Place.
Okay, and you've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, we have a book review of a very trendy book right now called Trust Exercise by Susan Choi, written by Sophia Kaufman. Read that. Because I only have 2 minutes, I can't talk about it. But we do have a review of Newsies, which is another rollicking musical that's at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. Jenny Hansel wrote the review. She loves it. and it sounds like a great show, and it's playing through May 12th again, so you've got to see it quickly. Then we have a great recipe by Marsden, basic recipe on how to roast a chicken. And if Marsden says this is the way to do it, I would suggest that you do it her way. And that's it. Thank you very much.
All right.
And we have a calendar full of amazing events.
Getting busy.
And a nice reproduction of some art from the annual Blue and Gold at the White exhibit.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Now,
are you sure that's it?
Well, there's a lot more in there, but we can't talk about everything.
Yeah, buy the paper, and don't forget to subscribe, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to end the show a little differently here, okay?
Yeah, good.
Quiz?
Yeah,
no, so, Mama
can ABBA song?
Yep.
You're going to be forced to keep those headsets on as we end the show.
No. She's taking them.
That'll wrap up the show.
We'll
see you guys next week, okay?
Thank you so much.
That's This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And this is, of course, Fran Day.
That's the best.
It's ABBA and Dancing Queen.
There's a present.